reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. As we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Our decision, our position as we face the issues as Christians, conservatives, and patriots ought to be foundationed upon the Word of God. What does God's Word say? I've seen too many down through the years, less than 100 years now, Christians and conservatives and those that are pastors and general spiritual leadership in the churches, they've said, well, you know, Christians ought to stay out of the political arena. Christians ought not to be involved in politicking, as it's called. Well, listen, number one, God didn't call it politics when he created civil government. God created civil government as a servant, slave servant to God in the world in which we're living. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and following in particular, and I'll paraphrase, God has set up government, civil government, to protect the good and prosecute the evil. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, so often as Christians, we've forgotten the purpose of civil government. We now call it politics, and we vote for people, etc. But we've forgotten the purpose. What did God set up civil government for? How is it to be carried out? Who should make the final decision in relationship to what is legal and what is illegal? What is constitutional and what is unconstitutional? Should it be those that hate America? Those that are not loyal to America, those that hate our constitutional republic, those that are simply socialist, Marxist, communist, that are wanting to undermine, tear down, and destroy our nation. We need to make the decision, what should Christians and conservatives do? That's the issue we're talking about today. What should Christians and conservatives do? Listen, we're in an election year, and it is rapidly upon us, and yet I'm concerned that I see so few as Christians, as conservatives, as so-called patriots, and as pastors that are unwilling to jump into the arena and analyze what is happening and warn of danger ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about that today. And lest I forget it during the course of the broadcast, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And that, may I say to you, after a brief monologue, we'll open the telephone lines, invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion on the issue. What are your thoughts? How should Christians respond? How should believers respond? What should pastors do? Should we cower in the closet? Should we continue to hide under the bed? That's what gave us Joe Biden in 2020, along with the stolen election. It's being found out more and more each and every day. Fulton County, Georgia. Now the politicians there, including the former governor, apologizing to Trump for what they did. Ladies and gentlemen, you see what's happening in Arizona, where they're discovering now that fraud upon fraud took place and that Trump literally won the election in one of the major county seats there. I'm concerned about where we're headed in the next few months in the United States of America and in the state of Florida and other states where major elections are taking place. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, I go to the truth book, John 8:31-32. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further, ladies and gentlemen, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." Didn't say, "Thy word is partial truth, some truth, a hopeful truth." Thy word is, declaratory statement, is truth. And we find in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Yet we live in a society very much like George Orwell said, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that to be factual today, where truth is bounded about as to be something that you can pick and choose what portion you want to call it. I was fascinated when I watched, I believe it was Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, where he was speaking to Communist Network News and for the media in general. And now the chairman of the FCC has said that if these networks continue to be biased on the truth, if they continue to give a half-truth, their license to operate will be in jeopardy. Now, I'm hoping it's not just bloviating. I'm hoping that it was real from the standpoint of letting the Marxist media know that they must stand on truth. I'm hoping it changes some, but I don't give a lot of confidence that it will do so. I go back to the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. DeMint, on a headline, says, "DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth." In part, this is what DeMint said. "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." Ladies and gentlemen, that's sad to say, but I find it to be factual. We need to come to the point and place that we recognize truth and embrace it without any equivocation. However, the latest survey says that 55% of the younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Like, their statement is this, they're referring to the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group. They say that each person determines their own version of truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that weren't so sad, it'd be laughable. That 55% say that each person should determine their own version of truth? There's a problem with that. You'd have no way to come to any general consensus on anything if that were the case. And unfortunately, that's what you find in the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party today. There are so many different views. They have failed to recognize they've missed the mark. They left the goal. They have no idea. When you interview or look at or talk with the various mindsets, there's no central focus, no aim, no ambition as a central goal for the Democratic Party. They've lost the focus. And ladies and gentlemen, that's part and parcel of what I'll talk about today in relationship to what should Christians and conservatives do. We need to stick to the truth, stand on the truth, and watch and see what God will do. I'm looking at the statement from the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge on this broadcast each and every day. It is frightening when you look at a headline that says, "Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth." This writer in this massive article says, "American institutions are suffering from a collapse in public support. among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. And those are the three areas that I say are the movers and shakers in society today. Our government, the media, and our educational system. In fact, this writer goes on to say, in the realm of education, says fashionable in academia today, and for decades, says that the truth is only relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we didn't just get this way in America overnight. We've been drifting for decades, and that drift has been to the left until now we're witnessing our nation, our constitutional republic, being destroyed by the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, with the mindset that everything should be free, with the mindset that Marxism is okay, communism is all right, socialism is all right. And we're witnessing city after city, blue state after blue state, headed down that path. And may I say to you, it's part and parcel the responsibility of Christians and conservatives. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you ask the question, how do I find that? 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole, there's the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you watched it on the news. It was frightening when you watch it, where just recently there was a video clip and an article on the news about two Jewish men. They're on the sidewalk. They're on the street. It looked like they're around a sidewalk cafe. I don't know the details of the business around it. But because two Jewish men communicating in Hebrew with each other, some of the Palestinian thugs, as they're called, jumped them, beat them half to death, and the entire crowd seated there, watching, videotaping, saying nothing, doing nothing. Did you hear me? There seemed to be no emotional concern to see what was taking place. Now, I understand most people today have the mindset, I'm not going to get involved. It's not my fight. It's not my battle. It's not my war to win. Therefore, I'm going to leave it alone. I'm not saying that every battle on the street corner, every fight on the street corner, that Christian conservatives need to jump in and start fighting. That's not the point. But the point is, it sets the pace. It gives us the picture. It gives a very clear image of where we are in America today, where there's the mindset that I'm not going to get involved. And I believe that has permeated Christendom today, permeated the conservatives today, more than I've seen in my lifetime. And as I like to say, I'm still under 100. And I recognize that there are a lot of folks that want to avoid the limelight, avoid the camera, get away from anything that would be controversial. I think it's time that we as Christians become controversial, that we stand for truth, that we stand for what is said and what needs to be done. It was Edmund Burke of years back. Edmund Burke said this, "For evil to flourish, all that is needed is for good people to do nothing." Ladies and gentlemen, I believe there's a time to remain silent. I believe there's a time to speak out. But I believe that this is not the time for believers to remain silent. I believe that we must be salt and light. We must stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, or we're going to lose the constitutional republic that we have today. We'll lose our Bill of Rights. We will lose our liberties and religious freedom. We'll lose our free speech. We'll lose our Second Amendment rights. Now, I don't know about you, but I count those things as being near and dear to us. I believe God gave us those documents. I believe it was the intervention of God that put Donald J. Trump back in office. And I believe we need to take advantage of what God has done and not just sit in silence. I believe Derby is on the line. Derby, go over the question to comment, please.
Yes, it's an item in the news. I heard it on Newsmax. It is that the new Ayatollah might be gay. So that is really important news, right? Newsmax will cover it. However, Newsmax or nobody ever covered the fact that we've had a gay president for 8 years, Obama. Mm-hmm. He might be gay. So why don't we study that? Not only that, we have had a transgender first lady. Why don't we put a resolution to that? So that should be news that should be covered, but nobody covers it because they are really gutless or they are complicit.
Well, Derby, let me jump in for a moment, Derby.
Okay.
I believe you're exactly right. I believe it is a good high indicator of what I'm talking about today. I believe it's time that Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. I believe it's time conservatives come out of the closet and take a stand. We have too many, in fact, I've witnessed very recently, of too many of those that are up for re-election, even in the Republican category, that's frightened to death, petrified to take a stand on the issues, petrified to talk about DEI, petrified to talk about the fact that we're being invaded by the Islamic jihadists. They're afraid of being called Islamophobic, et cetera, et cetera. I'm thankful for the few that we have, Chip Roy and others, that are standing up and they're saying America will not allow the Islamic jihadists to come in and take control. Now, it's wonderful they're saying that, and I think some 22, 23 states have adopted measures that will try to prevent that. I believe it's time we simply go to the point of saying, if that is your background, you cannot run for election in America. If you are an American nationalist, where you've come into America from another nation that you have allegiance to, you cannot run for office in America. I believe it's time we stop putting people like Ilhan Omar in office. I believe it's time we stop putting people in office that do not know America, know America's Constitution, know why we're here, and be willing to risk your life for the safety and the preservation of our constitutional republic. I believe therein lies the problem. But going back to the new Ayatollah, the new leader, he's not been seen walking on the streets since I believe he was wounded and perhaps even dead. We don't know. Perhaps even dead as a result of the last mortar round by Israeli troops. Supposedly he's either in a coma, badly injured. President Trump said he understands that he's badly injured, maybe even with one or both legs missing. But it came out that just about 5 years ago, the Ayatollah said that his son, because of his, quote, lifestyle, would not be qualified to replace him in political leadership. What his daddy was saying was that he was, and everybody in Iran, I understand, knew it firsthand, that his son was a practicing sodomite, and in the culture in Iran, he's to be beheaded or pushed off the top of a building. That's the mindset. And Derby, there's one thing that just is so laughable on one side and scary on the other side, is that we have the sodomites in America, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda people, the ones that are practicing queerism, as they call it themselves, that they are all for somehow, some way, the Ayatollah and the, quote, Palestinian movement being the winner, if you please, without sense enough to realize, okay, let's bring them in for about 90 days and let them rule America. All of those in that lifestyle that they call gay, and there's nothing gay about it, it's a lifestyle of sodomy, all of those in that lifestyle will be put to death. So that's the part that's laughable about it. But yes, it goes back to the fact that we as conservatives and Christians, we've been asleep too many years for too long. In fact, the election in 2016 where Donald Trump was elected. Even at that, there were some 40 million Christians that didn't vote. And in 2020, it was down to, I believe, some 25 or 30 million Christians that did not vote. And so the point that I'm making is, Debbie, we're rapidly approaching the election month in America. And right at this present moment, unless Christians and conservatives and patriots wake up, stand up, and be willing to take the, how would you say, the loose likes lost media's attack, I think that we're going to lose the position of leadership in the U.S. House and Senate. Now, I'm not a doom and gloomist, and I'm praying that I'm 100% wrong. But I see the handwriting on the wall with what Trump is doing in Iran, that the mindset is Trump has put us in a war. Trump has caused gasoline to go up exponentially. Trump has caused, and blah, 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 whatever you want to name it. It's the Trump derangement syndrome that seems to be on the leading edge of all media today. And so I'm concerned about that. Go ahead.
The second point I want to make is that we have had chain migration for years. Mm-hmm. Mass migration, open invasion, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I have a message for Tom Homan and Trump, the way to fix that. So instead of chain migration, what we need now is chain deportation.
We need mass deportation.
If anyone in your family commits terrorism or treason, the whole immediate family and even the extended family, even if they're naturalized citizens, need to be deported. Just like they bring their relatives, so we deport their relatives, and we keep families together. Everybody goes back to the third world country they came from. And then all the illegals that have come here without due process, they need to be deported without due process.
Well,
you cannot have it both ways only to please you.
Well, Derby, you're exactly right. You're exactly right, Derby. There's no due process from the four corners of our Constitution that should be afforded someone that's come in illegally. They're not a citizen, so the Constitution does not apply. And I think it's time for our politicians to recognize that and implement that, enforce that, rather than. But here's the bottom line, and I'll touch on it further in the broadcast. We have a nation today that's run, controlled, and operated out of those wearing black robes, calling themselves judges, and Chief Judge Roberts has the responsibility, and he is evading his responsibility, that he could stop this judiciary overplay by simply one order from the executive branch in that I call the Chief Judge, Chief John Roberts. It's his responsibility, and he's not controlling the judges. Bassford, the judge that tried to persecute, prosecute, and destroy President Trump, has now gotten another order preventing Trump from going forward with other things that need to be carried out immediately for the operation of the United States of America. We have the overreach, the lawfare of the judiciary, and it was never intended with our founding fathers to have the judicial branch, not the one that is responsible for carrying out the laws, the courts. There's not been anything in our Constitution that allows them to do it, but it's being allowed. Who's going to step in if Judge Roberts doesn't to control that branch of the government? But yet they're controlling the Oval Office today. So I think it's time that Christians... Go ahead.
In closing, I have one more comment. A question for every Republican. By now, we have a lot of evidence that there was election fraud in 2020. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I am asking every single Republican, why didn't you support Trump when he claimed that there was election fraud? Or do you still think that there was no election fraud? I mean, you got to give me a good answer to those two questions. And I would ask that specifically of Marco Rubio and Rick Scott, who said publicly, no, the election was honest. Well, no, the election was not honest. It's been proven. Why don't you apologize for saying that? I'm sick and tired of all these Republicans.
Well, Derby, one of the things, and I'll answer that and let you go, it's called cowardice. Charities. I don't care which side of the aisle it is. I don't care which a politician or elected leader. It happens to be, it's total cowardice. And as a result of that, we're reaping what we have sown as a nation, politically speaking and spiritually speaking. Too many are afraid they're going to get shot at, not literally, too many are afraid they're going to get condemned by the Marxist media or accused in some fashion, so therefore they want to protect themselves and the next election. We've got a lot of Republicans now, at this moment, running for re-election in November, that's hiding under the radar, afraid to take a real stand, afraid that they might miss one or two of the Marxist media or the liberal votes that they might get otherwise. I think it's time that Christians take a stand, Christian Republicans, conservatives, take a stand and say, if I win, if I lose, I'm still going to stand on the morals, ethics, and values of the Constitutional Republic called the United States of America. Derby, I think it demands it. I'm looking at an article by ACLJ. Jay Sekulow says this: the midterm elections are already under attack, and we've taken the fight to the U.S. Supreme Court. The integrity of your vote is under unprecedented assault. Across the country, the left is now pushing to allow ballots to be counted days, even weeks, after the election, inviting fraud and chaos. We can't go back to the Biden schemes and dysfunction in our government. And that's, I believe that statement stands pretty powerfully factual and true as to where we are. So it demands our prayer, demands our attention, and our constant vigilance. Derby, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Further reading in the ACLJ Jay Sekulow's newsletter, Sekulow says this: the radical left has unleashed lawsuits to dismantle voter safeguards, gutting the voter ID laws, forcing mass mail-in ballots, and legalizing ballot harvesting, and fears of non-citizens' votings are on the rise, threatening to dilute your vote and my vote by fraud. And the left is forcing through unconstitutional redistricting schemes in states like Virginia and others that are wanting to grab power, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned where we're going. I'm asking that question: what should Christians and conservatives do? What should we do when we see what is taking place today? We're witnessing the uber-liberal Marxist politicians determined to destroy the morals, ethics, and values in our nation. A good example of that, ladies and gentlemen, is the witch that's just been elected as governor of Virginia. Spamberger, Abigail Spamberger. I'm looking at a massive group of articles that I've collected over the past few days about this dear woman. It says Abigail Spanberger took office as governor of Virginia January 17, 2026. Within hours, she had issued 10 executive orders, and she has issued a few additional executive orders since then. But ladies and gentlemen, the major first 10 executive orders that Spanberger issued when she was sworn into office was to undermine, undo, disavow, disallow, and disbundle, if you will, all that the previous governor had done as the governor of the state of Virginia. All that he had done, Youngkin, all that Youngkin had done to protect our kids in the public school system. Youngkin had made sure that the DEI, the LGBTQ, sodomite agenda, and abortion by on demand, all of that was left out of the curriculum and the information to be given to the kids in the public school system in Virginia. All that by executive order now been put back in. In fact, part of the executive orders was that that she had issued, Spanberger issued in Virginia, was to, quote, avoid fear-based policing. She has, through her executive orders, tied the hands of law enforcement in the state of Virginia to go out and to find those that are here illegally, to find those that are the rapists, robbers, and the menacing, those that are the illegal invaders. She has put this on the basis that it is not, we're not going to police by fear basing. So if it's something we're fearful of, just leave it alone. Ladies and gentlemen, that can't happen in a constitutional republic and expect we as Christians and conservatives and patriots to be safe in our homes, safe in our cities, safe in America. We need to stand and do something. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.